The doctrine of repent. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we are at the doctrine of repent. We'll spend a few moments engaged in the concept of rebound, which includes the doctrine of repent. It means to name or to cite. And therefore, the doctrine of rebound, we simply name or cite any known sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us those known sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Lord God, again, thank you for the privilege of studying your word this morning. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will enlighten and challenge and move us forward in your plan. In Christ's name, amen. The doctrine of repent, of course, is needed because there's much confusion in Christendom about this word. And because many people that teach the word don't know the original languages, they abuse the word. And we see the word repent is used throughout the Bible, but what does it really mean? So that's our study this morning. Repent, used as a transitive verb, is the most common way you're going to see it. And we have the Hebrew word is nakam, and that's N-A-C-H-A-M. And the Greek word is meta noeo. Meta noeo. And that is in the Greek. Both words mean what? They mean to change your mind. That's all it means. Has nothing to do with emotion, which is part of the soul. Now, can you be emotional when you change your mind? Yes, but it's not a requirement when the word metanoeo is used in the text. So, there is absolutely no emotion associated with the word. However, some people do get emotional when they change their mind. For example, you might be going out of the house with your brown boots on, and you metanoeo, and you put on the black boots, and you have an emotional experience because you think, ooh, I look much better in the black boots than I do in the brown boots. But that's not required. You simply changed your mind about what you wanted to wear that day. Number two, there is another Greek word called metamelomai, and that is sometimes translated as repent in the Bible. Sometimes they'll use that word and they'll translate it as repent. So when you read the word repent, you don't know whether they're using metomelomai or metanoeo, and that's critical in interpreting the passage, because that word means to change the mind with emotional regret. So there you do have emotional regret when you have the change of mind. And of course, this is used when Judas Iscariot betrayed our Lord. And you can find that in Matthew 21, 29, 27, 3, and of course Hebrews 7:21 is another passage that's associated with metamelomai. And Judas, of course, you must admit, Judas was sincere. He's an unbeliever, but you don't get more sincere than killing yourself. Most people are sorry, well, I shouldn't have done that. They might have a drink, or they might tell other people, or they might feel bad. This is the ultimate sincerity. So sincerity doesn't save you. Emotion doesn't save you. And Judas was very sincere. He gave back the money. And Judas loved money. That was a major power lust in his soul, is the silver. He tried to give it back. And, of course, the legalistic Pharisees wouldn't take it back. And so he threw it at them. And they used the money, of course, to build a potter's field. And that, of course, is a place where they bury people that are indigent, have no money. So he was very sincere. And about the sin, he did a sin, and he was very sincere about it. But he never believed in Christ for salvation, and Judas is in hell. God's not interested with your sincerity and your emotion. It doesn't save you. It doesn't make you spiritual. It doesn't do anything. Emotion is an appreciator in your soul. Matthew 27:3 says, "Then when Judas, who had betrayed," and that's paradidomai, which means to give into the hands of another, him, "saw that he had been condemned," kata krino. Kata means according to a normal standard. Krino means to pass judgment, and it means to give judgment against. he felt remorse. Now, here they translate it as remorse, which is a good translation in the New American Standard Version. And we have the word meta melomai. He's sorry. And returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. But of course, these people are unbelievers too. But they're legalistic unbelievers. They wanted the money, but the law said they couldn't take it. And therefore, they, much as they wanted it, they didn't take it. Number three, repent used in the context of eternal salvation is always metanoeo. The human exhaling of faith is the subject, and the object is Jesus Christ. So you're the subject, Jesus Christ is the object, and you simply pisteo, which means to believe. Now, before you're going to believe, you're going to change your mind. And what do you change your mind about? Well, obviously, as an unbeliever, if you think about God at all, you've been inculcated with the idea you must be good. You must do the taboos. You must be moral. You must be emotional and all those things. So you change your mind about, these are called dead works. You change your mind about dead works, Hebrews chapter 6, and you simply say, I believe. So you change your mind and then you exhale the faith is generally how this occurs. So in the context of salvation, it's always metanoeo. You exhale the faith and Jesus Christ is the object. See Mark 1:4, Mark 1:14-15, Luke 13:3-5, Luke 15:7-10, Luke 16:30-31, and John everywhere. I mean, the book of John has repent everywhere. And then we've got Acts 17:30, Acts 20:21, Acts 26:20, Hebrews 12:17, 2 Peter 3:9. Now, John the Baptist also preached the word repent. Repent, 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 which means to change your mind about how to be saved. That's all. Change your mind about how to be saved. Those in the religion camp must change their mind about God's grace in Christ and take the grace solution to salvation. Mark 1:14-15 says, now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee. Now, Galilee, of course, is in the northern part of the kingdom, the client kingdom of Judea. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, plero, which means to fill up, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Now, the kingdom of God, of course, is always at hand, but he's referring to the fact that he is the Messiah. I am at hand. I'm the one that's going to do it. This has been predicted for thousands of years. And I'm the one that's going to do it. It's been predicted ever since our grandparents were in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve is at hand. Repent, metanoeo, and believe. See, there you go. Repent and believe. Repent, you change your mind. And then you pisteo, which means to believe. You exhale a single amount of faith about the size of a mustard seed. In modern terminology, I like to say the size of an electron going around an atom. In the gospel, euangelion, which is the good news. So you change your mind and believe. This is not a hard math problem. But of course, churches, they dive into the emotional things. And they get you all upset about what the word repent means. In the Greek, it simply means to change your mind. Hebrews 12:17, for you know that even afterwards when he, this is Esau, desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. Metanoeo. Metanoia, rather. In this case, the sentence structure is metanoia, excuse me, which means a change of mind. Though he sought it with tears. So when we have it as used as adjectives, he sought it with tears, which is what? Emotion. He sought it with tears, just like Esau, just like Judas. Emotion doesn't do you any good, folks. For he found no place for repentance at all. He just didn't change his mind. He would not believe. And that's the difference between Esau and Jacob. Esau, by human standards, was a better human being in terms of morality and being a provider and being forgiving, and being altruistic, kind. All the Boy Scout stuff. He had it all down. But the Bible says, Jacob I love and Esau I hate. Well, why is that? If you don't understand grace, you can never figure that one out. And, of course, we know the answer because Jacob had the righteousness of God imputed to him. Esau didn't. That's why God loved Jacob, not because he's a wonderful citizen. He wasn't. Not because he was kind and generous. He was a coward. Almost his entire life, he was a yellow belly. And we studied him before. Esau was a mighty hunter. He forgave his brother Jacob even for swindling him. And Jacob was afraid that Esau was going to kill him because that's what Jacob would have done. He's projecting on Esau his own inadequacies. Number four, repent used for the believer to change the mind about dead works of human good and evil. See Hebrews 6:1, Revelation 2:5, 16 and 22, Revelation 3:15 and 19, 2 Corinthians 12:21, 2 Timothy 2:24 to 25, where believers are to change their minds about staying out of fellowship and ignoring Bible doctrine. So we have metanoeo used for salvation, but we also have it used to fulfill the concept that you need to change your mind about the importance of Bible doctrine. So we have in Revelation 3:15 and 19, I, Jesus Christ, know your deeds, that you are neither cold, sukros, nor hot, zestos. And we studied this before. Cold means you're an unbeliever. Hot means you're a believer. That's very positive for Bible doctrine. So Jesus Christ says, I know you're not unbelievers, but I also know that you're negative towards Bible doctrine. I wish, Ophelion, that you were cold or hot. And of course, if you're cold, we got a solution, the gospel. I can do something about it. If you're hot, I've got a solution. I'll give you a Bible teacher. But if you're lukewarm, there's nothing I can do for you, dude. I don't need to give you the gospel again. You're already saved. And if I give you Bible doctrine, you're going to reject it. So then he says, so because you are lukewarm, which means tepid, and neither hot nor cold, I will spit, which means to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, you're afflicted and miserable and poor, patakos, which means reduced to beggary. You might have a whole lot of money, but you are worthless and blind and naked. Gumnas means you have no clothes on. Now, they literally didn't have any clothes on, but they're naked because they didn't clothe themselves with Bible doctrine. I advise you, which means to give counsel, to buy from me gold, crucian, which is iron ore out of the ground, which is Bible doctrine, refined, pure, which means to burn with fire, and then it says, refined by fire. That's the job of the pastor teachers, to take the gold out of the Bible, refine it, put it into a coin categorically, and give it to you so you can do what with it? So that you may become rich. Plutio, to have abundance, to be affluent in resources, which is your rewards. And white garments that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. Phanerao, that's the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be evaluated, and of course most believers are going to be naked. They're going to be coming into the world like they, you know, what's that phrase? Your birthday suits. No, nothing on them at all. No Bible doctrine. No rewards. No production. No nothing. An eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, phileo, which is a personal love, which are all believers. Why? Because you have his righteousness. I reprove and discipline. Therefore be zealous. And repent, there's our word at the very end. Metanoeo, to change the mind. I know we were all looking for that word, the whole long sentence, but it's at the very end. So there's the conclusion. He's given them the whole A to Z of your Christian way of life, what you're supposed to do. And therefore, change your mind. And of course, that needs to be highlighted into purple. Change your mind. And then Revelation 2:5. Therefore, remember. That means to be mindful of. From where you have fallen, piptoe, to descend from a higher place to a lower place. So this tells us at one time these believers were very zestos. They were hot for Bible doctrine. They couldn't get enough of it. They were there all the time. Every time the doors open, they're there. And repent, metanoeo, because they've fallen, which means what? They're now cold for Bible doctrine. They're still believers. But they're lukewarm. That's the word, right? Yeah. Cold would be the unbeliever in our analogy. They're lukewarm. They don't care about Bible doctrine. And do the deeds, ergo, you did it first. Now, this just means do what you did at first. What did they do at first? Well, they took in Bible. They were burdened for Bible doctrine. You ever heard of these churches where I'm burdened to go to Africa. I'm burdened to go to China. I'm burdened for the mission field. Dude, why don't you be burdened for Bible doctrine? Well, I don't want to do that. That's the number one burden you should have. And of course, when they say they're burdened, that's code for I don't know anything in most cases. Now, you can have a calling. The Holy Spirit can lead you to, you know, whatever it is, if that's your particular spiritual gift. Now, of course, we have people in this congregation that are burdened to help out because I can't do it all. And, you know, thank the Holy Spirit for that because they were brought here for a purpose to be burdened for this ministry. We have people who do a lot of things behind the scenes that put it together. And that's a good thing to be burdened for if you got to be burdened for something. So, he says, do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove kineo, which means to cause to go, your lampstand out of its place. And that's the church at Ephesus. He's going to rub them out, all of them. Now, where is the church of Ephesus today? That was a major province in Rome at the time, in Asia Minor. It was the center of gravity for Christianity for many years. Paul taught there. Peter went through Ephesus. Timothy taught there. John, that was his headquarters. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, he was at Ephesus. Where is it today? Islam. Muslims have taken the whole thing over. Why? No positive volition. And of course, he says, I'm going to rub you boys out unless you metanoeo, unless you repent. Change your mind. Now, any emotion here? No. You just change your mind. And then he says, 2 Timothy 2:24 to 25, the Lord's bondservant, doulos, which means slave, must not be quarrelsome. And that is someone that engages in a war of word, makomai. You engage in a war of words, but be kind to all, able to teach didakitas, which means apt and skillful in teaching, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, metanoia, leading to the knowledge, epinosis, which means full knowledge of the truth, aletheia. So the bondservant here is a pastor teacher, that Timothy was a pastor teacher. This is the last thing that Paul ever wrote, the last letter he ever wrote before he was executed. So he's telling Timothy that keep teaching these people, and God may grant them repentance. And, of course, that means that God's going to keep you alive long enough. And God will acknowledge the fact that you want to learn. And what does repentance lead to when you change your mind about the importance of Bible doctrine? Epinosis. And that's, epi means above and beyond. Gnosis is knowledge, the complete knowledge. Of what? Of Bible doctrine, the truth. That's a synonym for Bible doctrine, aletheia. That which is true in any matter under consideration. Number five, repent uses an anthropomorphism. That's ascribing to God a human characteristic in order to explain God's policy or action. So that's what an anthropomorphism is. So when it says God hates, it's a sin to hate. God doesn't hate, but it's an anthropomorphism. Ascribing to God a human characteristic in order to explain his policy or his action. And an anthropopathism, of course, is attributing to God a body part, the hand of God, the eyes of God. God is the spirit, but I hold you in my hand. That's an anthropopathism. But God doesn't have a hand, but it indicates to us eternal security. With God as the subject, in order to allow us a better understanding of his perfect control of history. Genesis 6:6. Exodus 32:14, Judges 2:18, 1 Samuel 15:35, Jeremiah 15:6, Amos 7:3, Amos 7:6, Hebrews 7:21. We have an error there. It should be Amos 7:3 and 6. Anyway, God is absolute righteousness and immutability, so that he is not able to sin or feel sorry or to have regret or to repent. God doesn't repent. He doesn't change his mind. Oop, I didn't see that one coming. Of course he saw it all coming. We say the doctrine, the plan of God and divine decrees already. But it's language of accommodation. When it says that God repented, God, it's impossible for God to repent. It violates his essence. It's language of accommodation for us to understand his divine policy. In other words, God will give you ultimate many, 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 many chances. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So the classic biblical anthropomorphism, God hates and loves, is found with Jacob and Esau. We already studied that, mentioned it rather. Malachi 1:3-1 and Romans 9:13. God doesn't hate someone because they're an unbeliever. But God, of course, we know that what the righteousness of God requires, the justice of God will execute. And the righteousness of God is not in the unbeliever. Therefore, they are subject to the justice of God. Now, you have the righteousness of God in you, and therefore the justice of God must do what to you? Bless you. He must bless you. And you are blessed. We're going to study here in a moment the doctrine of resurrection. Even the loser believer gets the resurrection body. And so this is God's perfect righteousness that we're referring to. Because Jacob had it and Esau didn't. Genesis 15:6, Esau only had his minus righteous human righteousness to offer, which is always unacceptable to God for relationship. Joel 2:14. You can't offer your righteousness. Your works are garbage. It's God's works. Joel 2:14. Who knows whether he will not turn, which means shub, to return, and relent. There's that word nakam, which we studied in the Hebrew. It's the equivalent to metanoeo, which means to repent. So who knows whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a grain offering for the Lord your God. So this is language of accommodation. God knew trillions of years ago who is going to believe and who isn't going to believe. Therefore, he can't change his mind and alter his divine decrees. The divine decrees are static. And when he issued those divine decrees, they don't change one iota. One iota. So that is the doctrine of repent. Don't let anybody pull the wool over your eyes and get all excited about the word metanoeo.